Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
A hero's quest begins with the first simple quest, and is followed by another, slightly more complicated quest. Tigtone begins January 13th at midnight, only on Adult Swim. Too late, you're locked in, this is the escape room. Hopefully in about an hour we'll figure out how to get out of it.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to... This is the instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance, episode 545. It is January 11th, 2019. I'm Scott Johnson, and we're back for another fine episode of The Instance. I'm joined today... longingly, that's not a word. It's a word, but it's not appropriate here. I'm just glad to have Patrick back, is what I'm trying to say. Patrick Beja, everybody. All the way from, where are you now? Helsinki? Back to Helsinki.
I'm in Finland. Not in Helsinki, but yes, in Finland.
Okay, good.
And I think longingly works. I mean, your longing has been so long that you're still longing now that I'm here. Yeah. I think somehow we can make it.
I'm still longing even as I speak.
This is such a phallic intro.
It really is. But also that voice.
Yeah, if you want to see it like that.
We need to enlarge the longing more than Imperius's wings and Heroes of the Storm.
Here's the deal. You were gone for so long because of the holidays and stuff. It wasn't actually that long, but it feels like it was an eternity. We had a year.
It was like, what, like a month?
Yeah.
It felt like forever not talking to you guys.
It was about a month. So, and it was like a whole other year ago. It was a different year when we last spoke. And now here in 2019, Patrick's fresh and new again.
I think this is the longest I've gone without talking to you in quite a while, Patrick, because even after I left Overwatchers, you know, I came on Pixels every now and then. And then when I became a semi-permanent fixture here, I got my Patrick fix that way.
Yep. Let's get your hot injection of Patrick.
We were talking about some things you would be possibly doing in the future, but probably not, but maybe in the podcasting space. And I'm glad to hear that things are still rolling in that area.
This is very cryptic,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Again, you're doing it. You're doing it, Patrick. Yeah. You're creating expectations. Before it was just to the stream. Now it's to everyone listening to The Instance. So thank you.
That's true. All right. So you know what? The year that was 2018 has gone, and now it's 2019, and we all know that in 2018 everyone hated Battle for Azeroth, right? Everyone, it was like the worst thing that had ever happened in the history of the world, and including like Nazis and genocides and communism and
I had a terrible kind of time. I definitely didn't utilize the new community tab to put together a group of raiders I've never played with in my entire life that went on to full clear Uldir, which is a raid.
Oh, nice.
Enjoyed.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't make some of my greatest memories in the history of World of Warcraft during that.
That's cool. I was going to say, and now 2019, everyone loves everything, but I guess you're actually confirming that.
Yeah.
Have you been on YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube had a real field day this time around with the place we are in the expansion right now. I feel like this is a bigger year than usual for the kind of link baity YouTube stuff that would come right after an announcement. So they would say, I can't even think of a good one, but Blizzard would say a thing, and 10 minutes later there'd be a thumbnail YouTube of a face going, oh, and a huge bunch of text in impact font saying Blizzard says this, and then you click it and it's 8 minutes of some guy's face up in your face just ranting about how Blizzard's going to hell. There was more of that in 2018 than I think ever before. Either that, please, or I never noticed it. Look, I don't know.
Pump the brakes there, Scott. If you're gonna spend that much time on the thumbnail, your video isn't coming out in 8 minutes. You gotta write it on a dry erase board. That's the only way you can put out the trash for the raccoons that quickly.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty bad. I felt like it was a low point for that kind of stuff in 2018.
I think that it, like, Legion was pretty well regarded overall, and the previous expansions, when the community was not happy with the expansion, I think we can include ourselves in the community. Mm-hmm. YouTube wasn't as big, so maybe that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Now YouTube culture is bigger than it was before, mm-hmm. and that's possibly why we're seeing this a little bit more, but
just an uptick. I don't know what's going on exactly. Everyone on YouTube's mad because they think the revenue's weird, and they're mad at Google and YouTube anyway, so there's reason to scream there. And so if you have some other little niche thing that you talk about all the time, be it Warcraft or something else, and there's a chance for you to kind of turn all, you know, InfoWars on yourself, I guess there's more of an opportunity for that.
I mean, there's reason. Well, maybe we can talk about this later. You actually wanted to talk about the raid schedule and stuff like that, and the fun stuff, and we can talk about the controversial stuff later.
Yeah, we have plenty of that coming up, so let's play this. Yeah. Oh, also welcome Garrett Weinzierl to the show.
Everybody. Hi, everybody. I'm by the way.
Listen, Garrett is always here. He is like a presence on the instance that needs no introduction.
Yeah.
He's just part of it.
Yeah. His hot butt keeping that seat warm for these two Europeans that have screwy schedules. That's what's going on there. And it's working out great. But yeah, I didn't mean to do that. We just got so into the topic already. We just all assumed Garrett had already been introduced, but he hadn't been. So, Garrett, hi.
Listen, welcome. Yep. You got to start the show strong with some wiener jokes. That's how you gotta
yeah. That's what I always
get
say.
Get it rolling.
That's what I always
say. But hey, raid test schedule.
Yeah, let's talk about this. January 10th, that was yesterday for those paying attention. Today's the 11th. So, on Thursday, they conducted their first raid test for the Crucible of Storms. This is how it went. I guess it started around what was that? 1300 PST. So what is that normal time? I don't ever know how that works. How does it work? It's 3 hours. Was that 2? 1 p.m.?
Well, the first question is, what do you call normal time, Scott? Well, no, that's the first question.
I like my AMs and my PMs, damn it. I don't like the military.
Oh, day. That's 1 p.m. It's very easy. Oh. 13 is 1 after 12, so it's 1 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Really?
I feel like 1500 is where I start to fall off. I can't quickly assess what time it is. But 13, I'm like, it's 1 past 12, which is noon, so it's 1. Yeah. And then so on and so forth. But say, then I start have to start counting on
people
my
say, be here at 1800 hours. I'm like, what are you, an episode of MASH? Let's freaking turn this boat around. This is stupid.
Does anyone actually say that to you in daily conversation?
No one ever does. It's never. Okay, it's actually right. Never happened.
Exaggerating.
I straw manned it. I made that up. It was to support my argument, but I actually don't have. See, this is what I'm trying to do. In 2019, it's all about more full disclosure of stuff. So I'm here to admit that I made a thing up to help support an argument. I think a lot of people could benefit from just saying that up front in 2019. That's just a little side note there for you. But let's talk about this raid schedule. So they did it. I don't know how it went. So I was going to do some follow-up this morning, and I couldn't find much. But as far as I know, it was fine. The testing went okay. And according to various sources, there's nothing crazy happened. No servers melted down. Nothing bad happened. So this is all leading up, obviously, to the release of the coming raid to public servers and that sort of thing. And Garrett, because you have been so invested in Ulduar, I know you're excited, right? You're ready for the next level. Put your feet on there and go and run and go.
Always. Always excited for new raids.
Yeah. And are you, you don't partake in the testing, though, do you?
No. I don't partake in really any WoW testing because it burns me out on the content too quickly.
Well.
Because he doesn't want to be helpful in any way to anything. He just wants to enjoy the thing free.
I feel attacked. Wait, you're saying I don't want to get in and figure it out and help teach people how to run it? Is that what you're saying?
That
you don't want to help Blizzard find the bugs and
I'm sorry Blizzard, enjoying Blizzard's content. This is Mr. Blizzard. It's a constant battle in enjoying your games against burnout.
Sure.
Because so many of your games are about replayability, so partaking in your testing damages my replayability.
Right. And also you're always in danger of running into like a half-made polygon that's supposed to be a character eventually that's not textured yet or voiced yet. That's always my big concern. Like I don't want to get in there and
PCR,
go
Raid testing, usually not.
Well, not raid testing. That's true. Anyway, but like betas, forget it. No more betas. I'm done with betas. Go ahead, Patrick.
Did you guys talk about how the raid is going to work, like Alliance to Horde, and how you're going to replay parts of the fights?
Well, this isn't for that. This is for Crucible of Storms.
Yeah, this is a
Oh, this is like, okay. Well, never mind then. I didn't say anything.
Yeah, it's all right. But that other stuff, that Zoldazar, Zipdazar business is cool too, and we're very much looking forward to that. And we do have a schedule for that, though, don't we? When's this that stuff hit? I don't have it written here. It's on previous notes. Anyway, people still chomping at the bit. The point is, raid content. That's where we're at in this stage of the expansion. That's what we're waiting for. We're sitting around waiting for more raid content. And hopefully that'll all turn out good, and we'll get some cool story bits in the meantime. There was just, I didn't go and scour it, but there was just a Q&A with Taryn Gregory, and I forgot the designer, one of the leads on the team, sat and talked about lore in this expansion and how they're progressing with that stuff. And people should go read up on that if you haven't, or go watch the VOD on Twitch. It was quite good. All right, well, that's about all there is going on in the game. there's some raid content coming. They're testing some of it, and good times are ahead. However, what I want to talk about is a really weird thing that happened yesterday. I don't know if it's that weird, but it was quite the buzz, and that was news that Activision was transferring publishing rights to Destiny back to Bungie, and Bungie would be severing themselves from their relationship with Activision, thus becoming their own publisher, but also all that that would mean, them being separated from Activision. Now, the reason this matters here isn't because I don't care that much about what that means for Bungie or Destiny, but it's a very interesting turn of events that made a whole bunch of people ask me yesterday, hey, does this mean Blizzard could do this? Could Blizzard sever their tendrils from Activision during this weird time where revenue's down on all sides and Activision seems to be bullying in a little bit and all the, you know, the he said, she said we're going through since BlizzCon and all that stuff happened, since Morheim's announcement maybe is where all this stuff started of him leaving. And the answer is, I don't actually know. I don't know enough about the way that they're connected corporately. I don't know what the rules are for that stuff. But Patrick, thoughts?
Yeah, I think it would be extremely difficult because Bungie has basically a deal with Activision where Activision publishes their game, but Bungie is still an entirely separate company. And Activision Blizzard owns Activision and Blizzard. And they are they're not quite the same company, but they're very much integrated. Not in game development, not in, those kinds of aspects, but they work together on many, many things. I don't want to say something stupid, so I'm not going to say anything, but it seems unlikely that they would be able to separate themselves in the same way. It would take a lot of work, a lot of reorganization. It's not impossible, but I mean, even the first question is, why would Activision Blizzard want to essentially separate from Blizzard? Mm. Blizzard makes a ton of money for them, even currently, you know, in the way they work. And this is one of my reasons why I don't think Activision want to influence and change the way Blizzard works. But yeah, it seems like it would be very difficult for them to.
I mean, it was a merger. Mm-hmm. Like it was, yes. It was very different from the connection between Activision and Bungie.
Right.
Very, very different. It's just they have a deal, like a contract, to work together with Bungie. Blizzard and Activision are owned by the same company and have a lot of synergy, so it's not.
Some context here. Patrick joined Blizzard as an employee on the European side about a year after the merger, and and you were there up till what, 2014? Do I have that right?
2014, yes.
I feel like you have some insider, not knowledge. I don't mean that in specifics, but I mean you kind of have a feel for how things worked and how things transitioned and all of that. We don't know why. I mean, the letter from Bungie is rather flowery about, we really appreciate our time with them, and if without them, we wouldn't have been able to do what we did. And now, looking ahead, we're excited to publish and do ba-day-ba-day and do things and whatever. And then
you read the Kotaku article, which says that Bungie employees had a champagne popping party when the news broke.
It sounds like they weren't. I mean, clearly something wasn't great, or they wouldn't do this. This wouldn't be a split they would be having. So I understand the desire on Blizzard fans' parts to go, ooh, ooh, is this a thing we could do? Could we go out and be independent again and no longer be tied to this? You know, there are a lot of people who believe that this merger and the going public in 08 was the start of a problem that would eventually fulfill itself, and now we're seeing it being fulfilled.
Yeah, that's like 12 years for the problem to realize right. itself. It's like, that's, you know, we're not going to talk about Blizzard Activision yet, but in the case of Activision and Bungie, you have to, I mean, we don't know what the terms are for Activision. We know that Bungie is getting Destiny, which is huge. It's a really big thing. And you have to wonder what what Activision is getting out of it. I mean, they are accepting to let this go. I'm guessing a lot of money in some fashion, but it's not like Bungie is setting itself free from evil Activision that wanted to keep it at all costs. Like, Activision is probably letting them go for some reason. They weren't very happy in the way things were going either, and it seems like I don't want to say friendly. It's probably not friendly, but a mutually agreed decision.
Mm. Yeah, it does seem. Yeah, friendly. I don't know if is the right way to put it, but yes.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. So
no, I wonder if it's kind of like what we're seeing between Sony, Spider-Man, and Marvel.
Mm.
Like if there's still some money exchanging, or I don't know if it's on
the
sure
there's money or, exchanging hands.
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
money changing hands that like Activision can't give up because Destiny is a co-owned franchise essentially, and Activision is saying, okay, fine, you can take it. You know, we don't care, and they wouldn't do that for free. Like, it makes no sense. So I don't know what's happening there, but there's something that's happening.
Yeah. I mean, the part of it that I find absurd is. But I also completely understand how we got here is everyone's like, oh, this is more proof. Activision is a sinking ship and the rats are evacuating. And it's like, no, I mean, the tension between Bungie and Activision has been well documented for years now, mm-hmm. since Destiny 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that Activision has clearly not been happy with Destiny's performance. Mm-hmm. And it does not appear that Bungie has been happy with their relationship with Activision, who publicly touts
honestly don't happy.
Yeah. I mean, this original arrangement was made their partnership was entered into in 2010, when I guess in theory they were washing their hands of whatever they were done with Halo and Microsoft, and then had started in earnest working on whatever Destiny would be.
Yeah, it was shortly after Halo Reach came out, because that was Bungie's last Halo game.
Yeah, so we're looking at, you know, 10 years ago, 9 years ago. And I think that is plenty of time to test the restraints, give it your all, do your best, and if things just aren't great between you and your publishing arm, then maybe in your contract you had a way to exit, and that's what they've decided to opt to do, and maybe it was time-based, maybe it was a lot of other things. We don't know all those details, unfortunately, but we know they're happy about it. They're popping champagne, right?
Whee! Yeah, but that's employees, and I don't know how, you know, I don't want to speculate too much, but it was a 10-year agreement, mm-hmm. and they break it essentially after 8 years, and they're getting the franchise. Neither of them was super happy with the way the relationship was going, or at least the game was performing financially. Destiny had great times, but Destiny 2 ended up being less successful. We could go into a whole history of Destiny. I don't know why I started on that rant, so I'm going to stop. But it's more complicated than
to kind of level out, I guess, the emotions that are elicited from saying Bungie employees pop champagne when the information when the news broke. It is like I just take a moment and just remove Activision from the equation. Any other studio, XYZ studio, was in a deal with Bungie. Bungie now moves on from that and gets to retain the rights to their IP, that's good news. Yeah. You're going to celebrate that no matter who you are now leaving a business deal with.
Yeah, that's like,
true. That's good. Ooh, and that's by the way, for Bungie.
Who invested in Bungie? Was it? It's either Tencent or NetEase.
It's NetEase.
Who invested in Bungie? It's NetEase. So there you go. NetEase. So it's the, you know, it's not like they're leaving one evil corporate overlord for a life of happiness and independence. NetEase is, if you remember, the company that Blizzard is partnering with for Diablo Immortal, which is a horrible, terrible Chinese company that only does microtransaction-ridden mobile games for money and profit.
Yeah, no,
so they went from Oscorp to Octavius Industries. That's basically
essentially.
Yeah, well, no, they also had a little step into being. They were part of I don't know who else. They were part of Stark Industries for a minute because last week everybody was praising the partnership of NetEase and Second Dinner with their little Marvel crossover game. And everybody was like, suddenly forgot how much they hated NetEase. We talked about this last week, but it annoys me to no end that you can go from NetEase is the devil. I'm sorry. NetEase is the Lord and Savior. I'm sorry. They're the devil. Like, what are you doing? They're just a big giant money train, and people are going to succeed or not on their money train. So,
I mean, all of this, I think, I'm sure that Activision had input on how Bungie should steer Destiny. I think some of the choices for making Destiny 2 very casual friendly, I don't know how much of this was Bungie and how much of it was Activision, but I wouldn't be surprised if Activision was like, guys, clearly we're not selling enough of those for, you know, it to make sense for us. So can you make it more casual? And it didn't work out for many reasons. And so they're getting back to the core gamer focus that they liked, and maybe that's where the strain is coming from.
Right.
People talk about the microtransactions. Honestly, I really don't think, like, every Destiny 2 player is super happy with the state of Destiny 2 now. Super, super happy. It's the best it's ever been. And the microtransactions are still very much there. So in themselves, they're not like the big issue that a lot of people think they are. So that's important to remember as well. But Bungie made a lot of mistakes in Destiny 2. It's not like it's all Activision's fault. I'm sure they have a part of the responsibility, maybe a big part. I don't think so, but maybe. But Bungie is not like, oh, everything was fine until you came along and ruined everything. So,
well,
and it's probably similar with Blizzard, by the way.
Yeah. But
we can talk about
that later. That's true. So just real quick, speaking of Blizzard, they swooped in pretty quickly, the Blizzard customer service account on Twitter, and said Destiny 2 will still receive full support on Battle.net, and we do not anticipate any disruption to our services or your gameplay experience. So that doesn't mean that's necessarily a commitment to a long-haul arrangement, but it did bring up some questions when this announcement came out. Would that continue to be a part of our launcher or not? For the time being, it will be.
Yeah, the big question is Destiny 3 or whatever that ends up being. I think the Epic Game Store is calling, and they're like, hey, guys, you know what we just launched? Mm-hmm. A game store. Yep. Wouldn't it be awesome if Destiny 3 or, you know, your next thing was on that game store? We think it would be awesome.
Yeah.
And it's possible that the next one won't be there. But on the other hand, everyone was wondering, like, what could Bungie do to get people interested in the next version of Destiny? Because most people would probably think, oh, it's the same again. And I think that will do it. Getting separated from Activision is going to get a lot of people to go, oh, now that's the Activision 3 free version of this game, I want to check it out. So that's
like a can of soda now with zero Activision.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. It's, well, look, the people, you know, people are responding in a lot of ways, obviously, around this thing. And I know people are some excited, some think this is bad, some see it as doom and gloom, like you're Garrett decrying over there about the idea of, you know, where things sit with Blizzard. But Patrick, while you were away, and actually not very long ago, you kind of went on a bit of a Twitter rant that gained a lot of attention, and the approval of Chris Metzen and a few other people who would be a little bit more in the know, and You want to summarize that a little bit? Because I think it's worth mentioning here, at least a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it makes sense to talk about it here. I don't know if it got a lot of attention. There were a few people who shared it, including Metzen and a few people from Blizzard or Riot or people who would know how these things work. So I think my intuition is somewhat validated to an extent. You know, if you want to think that that's because it is a more positive spin on that relationship, the relationship between Activision and Blizzard, then sure, you can think that as well. But the essentially what I was looking at was all of the rumors and the information we have, however flimsy and rumory, and trying to take away something tangible out of them and to see if it was indeed negative or positive or, you know, all of that. And I'm not going to go over everything I talked about in that thread, but the key part is that a lot of people are complaining that Activision's influence is negatively impacting the development of games at Blizzard. And while I think it's probably true that there are some cost cutting happening because the company has very few games coming out soon, the development part of it is still apparently extremely safeguarded. Like, they are hiring more developers. They're telling the dev teams to make sure they have everything they need. And they're doing things like making sure that they don't release Diablo 4 before it's ready, which is completely the opposite of what you would expect a company like Activision to demand if they were indeed demanding that things change at Blizzard to make more money. Like, Diablo 4 has been in development from what we know for at least 4 years. It's been reset once 2 years ago. It would be completely reasonable for a company like Activision to say, all right, guys, it's been 4 years. You have nothing to show for. You don't have a lot of big games coming out. And I don't count Warcraft 3 Remaster, Reforged, and WoW Classic. I don't think those are the big games a company like Activision would demand. Mm-hmm. And they could tell them, all right, announce it at BlizzCon. You have essentially 6 months to a year to finish it, and then you put it out. Then you release it. That's not what they did. They said, if they have any input at all, they said, all right, just take your time, hire people, do what you need to make it great and to make a lot of money for us once it releases. And it's fine, whatever. So I don't see how that is looked at and interpreted as being a Activision demanding things from Blizzard that are contrary to what they would like.
Right.
That Diablo 4 thing not being demanded to be released, especially, is to me clearly a sign that Activision is letting Blizzard do its thing, as it's done for 10, 12 years, and as it's reaped the immense benefits and profits from. So, yeah, that's my take on it. And the fact that they're hiring more devs and cost-cutting in areas that are support areas that you need less of when your games are getting maybe a little long in the tooth, like Overwatch and Hearthstone and even Heroes, sadly, it makes sense to cut costs a little bit. It makes sense for them to say, let's let Blizzard do their thing.
Right. So, and if you think, I mean, if let's say there's some wild scenario of possibility where Blizzard does separate itself from Bungie, I don't think it's ever likely, but let's just say it happens. I don't know that that's a different Blizzard. Like, it's still kind of Blizzard grappling with the new realities of what gaming is today versus what it was for their PC stuff back in the 90s and 2000s. Like, it's a different... It's not like they suddenly get out from under that shadow and go, now the freedom, all the holding back that Activision did. I don't know that Activision has ever held them back. I feel like Activision, may not overtly anyway, they've always been like, hey, Blizzard, keep making tons of money that you make. That's great. And the games you're making are awesome.
That rests on the question of whether or not Activision has a big influence on Blizzard. I think a lot of people see Blizzard as, or I don't know, Blizzard as saintly, if we want to invent words. They think Blizzard is can do no wrong. And every bad decision is actually an Activision decision, and every good decision is a Blizzard decision. I think that's giving very little credit to what Blizzard actually does. And they make a lot of bad decisions. Like, for Battle for Azeroth, I think a lot of people think it's not a great expansion. Cataclysm was not a great expansion. Warlords of Draenor was not a great expansion. Sometimes things happen. Boy, you make the bad decisions. You try to repair what you can. What do you, are
you're,
you?
You're underselling how terrible Warlords was.
Hold on, hold on. I'm going to give. Expansion. I will say it's not okay. Yes, it's a garbage expansion, but as the best menu music of the game ever had. That is the one thing I'm going to say for Possibly. It. Had amazing menu music.
Mists of Pandaria. Mists of Pandaria had the best.
That's true. The narrative I that Blizzard can do no wrong is very strong.
Right. I want to jump in here with less just me wanting to, again, stick a thorn in the side of the Warlords of Draenor, is that look at the larger picture, because I don't know, the conversation always seems to be, oh, it's finally Activision's corruption over Blizzard. And it's like, I don't know. I just don't buy that, because it's not just Blizzard. It's not the only studio we're seeing change. It's just the industry. Mm. Like, even freaking Bethesda, y'all love your Bethesda. Don't know why their games look like butt. But like, even they just released Fallout 76, which is this weird thing that's a departure from everything we know and love about Bethesda games, because they're trying to get in on the games as a service bandwagon. This is a shift over the entire industry of games.
Yeah, and Blizzard Blizzard at their size and their momentum would have to face this whether they were with Activision or not. They would still be in a position where they'd have to go, huh, what do we do? Shift gears, do this, incubators, mobile, what are we doing with mobile? Like, they would have these same problems and same challenges. I think what we want, or when I say we, I think what the people who hold Blizzard in a different category want, is we want to return to where they just focused on PC and they just focused on core gamers and they got away from games as a service and loot boxes and all this other stuff. Like, that's what you're all longing for. But the industry is either going and you're going with it, or you're not going with it and you are then not making money in where the thing shifted to. So I don't know what choice they have at this point.
Well, I mean, it's not even, I think there's this idea of a pure ancient Blizzard that was always the same and that Activision came and corrupted. And that's something that I heard a lot when I was responding. I spent hours responding to everyone on that thread. But
why?
Most of it was interesting. It was people who were being mostly respectful. Some of the people were convinced and couldn't be, you know, their minds couldn't be changed. And it's not like I was out to change minds. I was just looking at the situation as objectively as I could. And I was taking the feedback I was getting and trying to see if there was any merit to it. Sometimes there was, to an extent, sometimes less. But this idea that Blizzard never changed until now, and now it's being corrupted, is very strange, because the Warcraft, the first one, Blizzard, is very different from the World of Warcraft Blizzard. And the World of Warcraft Blizzard is very different from the Hearthstone and Heroes and Overwatch Blizzard. And so it's not like there's one Blizzard has never changed before. It changes all the time. We change all the times. Some of the things we liked 10 years ago are we don't like anymore. And Blizzard changes. And I think there is also a possibility that Activision is, you know, would negatively be impacting Blizzard in the way that they have, or EA might have, other companies before. It's just that in what we're seeing in the reports and rumors we're hearing about, I'm not seeing any evidence of that. I'm seeing evidence of them letting developers do their job, reducing costs where it's not essential, and essentially not demanding that a game is released before it's ready. So where is the evidence that Activision is ruining Blizzard? I don't, you know, BFA is not great, yes. And people saying, oh, they had lots of feedback and they chose not to listen to it and they rushed it before it was released. It was like 2 years. It wasn't rushed. It was decisions that panned out not to be the best ones.
That's kind of where my head's at, too. I feel like the intensity of the anger at BFA's performance is being amplified by what I see is unrelated events. it's all a lot of timing, because to me, if I just look at BFA and what's happening with it, this is just a cycle of World of Warcraft. As you pointed out, Scout, we went through this with Gata, we went through this with Warlords of Draenor.
I'm sorry, I'm the one who pointed it out. Please,
sorry.
Give my tribute to my pre-signs.
Give tribute my to bad. Patrick.
My bad. And for some people, we went through this with Mists of Vandaria. You were all wrong, by the way. That expansion is perfect.
Yeah, I love that. I love that expansion. You'll get no argument from me. It's fantastic. Yeah.
No. I'm just insulting random faceless listeners who are mad at me.
But. Right. Why not?
My point being is that if you just look at BFA in the vacuum of just World of Warcraft, it looks like the cycle of World of Warcraft that we've had for over a decade now.
Yeah.
But in the background, suddenly Mike Morhaime's gone. Mm-hmm. But before that, Metzen left, and we weren't touting the end of days.
Well, some were. We weren't. But I knew some who were. Yeah,
not to this level. It's the compounding factors of Metzen leaving, of everything that's going on with the CFOs, of the Jason Schreier articles, of now Bungie and Activision.
Yeah.
It's all of this coalescing all at the same time. So what I'm trying to say is that it's not the end of time. It's not the end of World of Warcraft. It's not a dead game. Stop clicking on those Asmongold freaking YouTube videos and calm down. Like, do you like the game or do you not?
Oh, his fans.
Keep playing it if you do. Stop playing it if you don't.
His fans are going to egg your house. I'm just saying. They're going to egg your house because they are hardcore, those fans. You got to watch out for those guys. They're going to egg your house. They're going to toothpaste your windows. It's going to be bad.
It's just a fervor. And I find it absurd.
Speaking of absurd, Patrick, I wanted to ask you a question because the chat room must know. Behind you is a screen playing something.
Oh.
Is that the Wii U Mario Brothers thing remaster deal? Is that what that is?
Yes.
Oh.
Absolutely. It was just released today and I bought it and I'm playing it. I'm loving it. It's exactly what I wanted and what I needed at this very moment. So
I think I'm going to pick it up today because I also want and need it right now in my life.
Well, so. I never played it on Wii U. I did have a Wii U. I was one of the three people who did. And I didn't play it. And I think it's a Mario game and I love Mario. And sue me if you don't. I don't care. I just love it.
Yeah, he has lawyers. He'll take you down. Go ahead and sue him.
Oh, absolutely.
See how far that gets
you. My wife's a lawyer.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You got all the defense
you
need.
There you go. There you go. I'm lawyered up.
Yeah.
I can absolutely tell you that I love Mario.
Yeah, plus she's...
And I'm also playing Overwatch at the same time. That's why I'm not making a lot of sense.
Yeah. She's also Finnish, and which means she can float into the courtroom three inches above the ground, not have her feet touch the ground. And you can see your heart beat like a baby fish. It's really good. All right, moving on. I haven't been able to say that joke in a while, Patrick. I just felt like it was time.
It was at least like, how long have I not been on the show? A month? It was
at least a month. Look, I love the Finnish. Don't get me wrong. I have a lot of connections to Finnish people.
Of course
people.
You do.
You're just one of them.
So yeah, overall, if you, I think we are making a... I'm looking at the situation objectively, and I don't see... overwhelming evidence that Activision is destroying Blizzard. I'm seeing evidence of the contrary. If you disagree, that's fine. I guess we'll all have our answers in about 2 years if we see only crappy mobile games and no PC games and no good games in 2 years. I'll come over to your side and we can have a party and all be friendly.
Wow.
if they do come out with excellent games, though, or fun, cool PC games, then you have to come over to my side and we can have drinks and have a party.
Yeah,
so
either way, yeah,
everyone wins.
Yeah, nobody loses in this scenario. Nobody loses. Sonya loses. Yeah. Your wife loses because she has to host the party.
Well, she'll be at the party as well.
Yeah, but... she doesn't want all our disgusting butts over there, does she? I wouldn't want it.
Oh, I didn't mean like come over like at my house. I meant we'll find a space.
You'll find a venue,
a common area.
Yeah.
Yes.
Find in the.
I don't want. I don't want you guys here. It's disgusting.
In the elf kingdom that is Finland. All right. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Let us continue on. Mike Morhaime, as you know, left his post as CEO. What, back in October? Yeah, it was October. It was about a month before BlizzCon. And then at BlizzCon, they did a little awkward goodbye. And then I didn't realize this at the time, but I had learned since that he was retained as what was called a strategic advisor. Not unusual. Companies do this all the time. Somebody's outgoing. What do? You have that person sort of stick around as a sort of a transition person. This is true all the way down to guy working at a bakery in a grocery store. You got somebody who's got to kind of, you know, bring in the next guy and make sure things are okay. And did we remember everything? Did we cover everything? And that was kind of his job. It may have extended a little bit to, hey, the board wants to know this. What do you think? And he may have had advice that people would, you know, listen to and that sort of thing. But that is now also coming to an end. His role as strategic advisor for the company will conclude on April 7th, 2019. So a few months left, but that'll be the end of that. And that is, in most respects, the last of Morheim at Blizzard in any capacity other than historical and probably lots of rad stock options. However, the people have chosen to see this as another doom and gloom sign. So I'm guessing Garrett loves this. You love that this one sparked all kinds of new stuff, because then they were like, oh no, after the Bungie thing, now this Morheim's not even a...
It's timing. and I can't begrudge anyone that reaction, because this, it just keeps coming. And I don't even think we have time today to bring up the Hearthstone survey that asks, how interested would you still be in the game if we cut esports? Like, who signed off on putting that out right now? That doesn't seem like now is the best time to be asking that question.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this bums me out. I mean, if I'm being honest, I don't like.
You didn't like him leaving in the first place. You didn't like any of that.
No, I don't like change, Scott.
No.
So while I am calling for sanity, yeah. I will say that I saw this and I was like, oh, son of a, come on. Mm. Keep something there.
Yeah.
Because I mean.
There's never going to be permanent, though. He was never going to.
I'm not jazzed with Jay Allenbrack so far.
Yeah.
I mean, if I can.
Well,
I'll
say this in defense of Brack, and I think I said it when Morheim first announced he was leaving. If things were really bad, Activision wise, I think they wouldn't have chosen Brack, who is a longtime game developer. He comes from the game side, mm-hmm. right? He's not a financial corporate head from Activision that was put in there like randomly because he would do the corporate overlord's bidding.
Right.
He has been in the WoW team for what, 12 years. He's a dev. He likes the game. I mean, he is an advocate for the game. So I think that is, yes, I'm sad to see Mike go after 27 years. Probably he was a little bit tired. But of all the people who would replace him, I think a game side guy is probably a good thing.
It is. The question is,
I'm not calling, I'm not doing a takedown of the man. I don't know enough. Right. I mean, in reality, when I say I am not thrilled with Jay Allenbrack so far, what I'm really saying is I am not thrilled with what we've seen publicly from the man, which I can only assume is crafted and released on purpose
and careful.
So yeah. What we've really seen is a not particularly stellar opening ceremony at BlizzCon last year, yeah. and a letter killing Heroes of the Storm esports around Christmas, rendering like over 100 people jobless. Mm-hmm. Like, that's about it. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it's just a failure in messaging. Who knows how much is actually his fault.
Combined with timing, combined with, you know,
he probably, that's what I'm saying. It's a useless statement, but we're always working with incomplete information when we talk about these types of movements by these large companies.
Yeah.
We have no idea what the hell is going on inside.
Yeah. We're not allowed we don't have the view.
Yeah. And so all we can talk about is what is public, and what has been public lately has not been stellar, and it's all compounding at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Now, chat room asks an interesting question. Now that he's actually gone and did it before 30 years, nobody else has hit a 30 year anniversary at Blizzard. So we don't know what the 30 year, thing would have been.
Ooh, that's a good point. Maybe that was the reason.
Could be.
I mean, he could have waited another couple of years, but yeah, that's.
Well, what if it was like just a little ceramic Hearthstone, and he was like, "This sucks. I'm leaving at 27." Like, maybe that's what happened. Maybe that's our story going forward. Or maybe they don't have plans for a 30-year, and who would be next in line for that? Because you can't count Adham. He left for too long. So he doesn't really count as a veteran for that long. Who I don't know who's next in line now, but a 30-year, what would that even be? It'd be like a, yeah, statue on campus, maybe, says Courteous in the chat. That's possible. You get your very own. Oh, Frank Pierce, he would be your next guy. He ain't going anywhere.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, he loves
that. And I don't know if Adham kind of gets his years back. He wasn't there for, what, 10 years? But now he's back, and he's a founder, so maybe it counts. I don't know.
Do they hit pause?
Yeah, that's the question.
What do they do? What do they do?
Ooh, an actual diva mecha. Ooh.
Ooh.
I'd ride around in that, even if it was just on wheels and, you know, got me to work on time. That'd be cool. Meep, meep. All right. Anyway, hey, check this out. Orgrimmar and Stormwind got proper portal rooms. I just wanted to get that out there. No more will you go to Orgrimmar and go, my gosh, did drunk mages just leave these on the ground randomly down here in the freaking crevice of hell or whatever it's called? The dark hole in Orgrimmar. What's it called? What's it called down there? What's that space? It's the crevice
of hell works. As a name,
I'm blanking as well.
You fly in there, and it's got the spikes on the outside, and there's all the stuff.
Cleft of Shadow.
Jeez Louises.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Thank you. But then there's also some over in the troll area, and just they're all over.
They're all over the place. It's like a mage went through. You know, it's like a drunk, what's his name, who we haven't seen in a while, whose name is also escaping me because it's Friday morning, and I can't remember a damn thing. But anyway, it's like he went through town just going, here's a portal, here's a portal, here's one. Hey, where does that go? I don't know. They're just everywhere for no reason. They're Khadgar, yeah. The floating head of Khadgar went in and just shat out like 50 portals and then left. And it's always felt like that. So finally, in this upcoming patch, we are getting a proper portal room in both cities, major cities. And it's like a real place with like a feeling of, oh, this is where the portals would be. And they'll be in some sort of, you know, configuration that looks good. So there, that's my favorite story of the week, if you're asking. All right.
I like updates to major cities.
I do too.
These portal rooms look great.
It's a good time. All right. Before we get to what else is happening around Blizzard, I have an important announcement for you guys. Tigtone is a new, gorgeously animated, weird-ass show from Adult Swim. That's right. Everyone's favorite thing happening on Cartoon Network, Adult Swim. It's about a fantasy hero, Tigtone, T-I-G-T-O-N-E. Who goes on quests, lots and lots of quests, and says his name, Tigtone, a lot. The main goal of most of these quests, luckily enough for Tigtone, is to kill lots and lots of creatures. Joined by his helpful sidekick, Helpy, Tigtone will do anything to fulfill a quest, mostly sacrificing Helpy. But whilst taking advantage of Helpy's powers and rejuvenation, this sounds like a common thing for us WoW players, get ready for a fantastical love letter for all things fantasy, because this word is weird. World is weird. Not word. World is weird. And funny and true and fantasy. But mostly it's Tigtone. The quest begins January 13th at midnight, only on Adult Swim. And the trailer's awesome. You guys should go see it. Again, that's January 13th at midnight, only on Adult Swim. And now let's do this. Something like this? Just like this. Let's talk about what else is going on around Blizzard. Heroes of the Storm got Imperius this week, and I would say he's cool, not very flashy. I still don't think his wings look very good, and they did update them, but whatever, they're dumb. He'll be fine, though. I don't think there's anything real super special going on, except he's Imperius, which is a badass character, but he's just kind of got a cool, you know, it's an okay kit. He does fine. He's fine. He's fine. Would you agree,
is
Garrett?
I have a question for you and Garrett, actually, because Imperius was kind of one of the last characters that everyone was like, oh, we want Imperius, we need Imperius. And like, is he living up to his, I don't want to say hype, but the amount that people wanted him?
No, because it's just nothing that special about him. Would you agree?
He has a miserable win rate. He seems undertuned.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, it's Heroes. They're hit or miss upon release. We've had a string for quite a while now of overtuned heroes upon release. Mm-hmm. But before that, it was like historical. It was like new hero, bad win rate. So we're just kind of back to that. It's fine.
There will be
a patch at some point. He will probably get his numbers turned up a little bit.
Yeah, his kid is not that. I just don't find it exhilarating. It's not like
I really
he's
like
the angel god. I call him the angel god. He's basically He's basically in the world of Sanctuary, or in the lore of Sanctuary. He's like the god. He's God, and he's an a-hole, and he hates people, and he hates the burning hells, and he's pissed at Tyriel all the time, and he's everything sacrilege to him. He's amazing. He's a great character with all kinds of stupid complexities, and I think he's awesome. And he comes down here and he's just like, I can do abilities A through E. And it's just not that. It's just not a lot going on there. That's all.
I mean, you're describing heroes in general. I mean, Ragnaros is a Titanic, and he's a little dude you control, and here's the storm. Like, it's the way, it's the concession of the game.
Landing his Q, chat room makes up a good point. Landing his Q, Mr. Oda in chat says, is very satisfying. I agree.
I love his kit, but I'm predisposed. I really like melee bruisers.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
he's like a beefier Kerrigan in a way.
In a way.
I dig it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very Kerrigan.
I dig it. But I can't win a game with him, so.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I said on Into the Nexus last night, if the opposing team drafts him, I type in all caps, free kills! Exclamation point to my team and get everyone excited.
Oh, you're one of those guys, are you? Okay.
You gotta make friends with your team going in. You gotta get everyone hyped. You gotta make your team believe we can do this.
Yeah.
And if what I have to do is crap on the new hero, make everyone believe that it's terrible and they're gonna get free kills, it doesn't matter. If I can make them believe that, they're gonna get free kills.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're 100% in the mental game here. I forgot about that.
Oh, totally. Totally. It's just social manipulation. That's my game. That's how I win the draft.
Well, as our local Hearthstone expert, what's happening in that game? Anything of a significance this week, or is it just kind of sailing like you're sailing in there?
I think the game's in a really healthy state, especially if you like grinding the ladder. There's a lot of, like I said last week, there's a lot of options, a lot of viable options across all the classes of play. That's still true. The single player came out. It's not for me, but it's usually not for me.
Yeah. Yeah, me either.
I mean, there was the survey, which everyone's losing their mind over, but it's just more doomsaying that I think is misplaced.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around right now. It's starting to get tiring. Like, I'm at the point where
Hearthstone's it's in a lull for sure, but so is Overwatch. So is I think we're just hitting, we're reaching a lull with most of the major Blizzard franchises at the same time.
Across the board, it's happening sort of at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're all StarCraft 2 and Diablo right now. Like, they're all having to have a taste of it. You know what I mean? Like, they're all, even Mighty Overwatch has to dip down and drink from the dirty water a little bit.
Blizzard operates in waves. I guess to kind of tie up everything we've talked about throughout the whole episode. For me, I look at it, it's like they had like their isometric RTS wave. Mm-hmm. They had their MMO wave.
Yeah,
we're kind of seeing the tail end of like the esport competitive wave, I think, right now. Like, Hearthstone and Overwatch came out and did gangbusters, and there was a lot of hype, but it's kind of quieting down a bit, and they're also having to cut some things.
Well, look at the positivity in the chat. Courteous says, "Only way to go is up," with a big smiley face.
Well, you know what? The next wave will be microtransaction-ridden mobile games, so we'll all have something to play. It's going to be awesome,
and
right?
Everyone will win. We all have a phone, right?
I was going to go with remasters with Warcraft 3 and Classic WoW, which I'm very excited about. I'm going to play both of those things.
Yeah, of course you are. They're up your alley. Your alley was wide open. You've spread it wide open, and you've said, please come on in here in my alley, is what you said to those two things. And they're going to be great. You're going to love them.
I will say, I really think we're going to see a big game announcement next year. Diablo 4, probably. And that still gives them another year. They usually like to put the game out in beta a year after, at least, at most after they've announced it nowadays. So I think Diablo 4. If we don't see anything, I will be very disappointed. Yeah. I think, ironically, you could see it as... well, they're still not releasing stuff that isn't ready. So in a way, it's a positive thing, but I would be massively disappointed. And at that point, I would start to be like, I don't have an irrational attachment to Blizzard. I wouldn't be like, oh, F you, Blizzard. But I would be like, all right, I'm going to, you know, maybe focus on other things until you finally put out something, because this is getting a little bit too long.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
they have to.
They have to.
Can you imagine what the landscape of public opinion would be like following BlizzCon 2019 and all, have to show for it is like a WoW patch and a new Hearthstone expansion.
No, they absolutely have to. I'm with Garrett on this. I mean, I guess nobody has to do
but,
anything.
But that's the thing. They absolutely have to. Imagine they didn't.
Ugh.
That would mean they're choosing, because they can announce anything. Like, they can announce stuff that isn't ready, and they just for that purpose, right? They could. But if they don't, it actually means that they're having the courage to make the difficult decision of not announcing stuff, even though they should. Yeah. And to let people, you know, wait as long as they need for the great game to finally come out. And when it's out, they're going to be happy with it, because as someone great once said, you never remember a game was late. You only remember it was great.
Who said that? I can't remember.
No. It was maybe Miyamoto or someone like that.
Oh, they're going to say it was maybe me. I didn't.
Yes, let's go with that. It was probably me. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But all that being said, I would still be pretty frustrated and pissed if they didn't announce like a big game.
I mean, I already
Diablo 4, another IP something. Yeah. Like, a PC standard, like, regular gamer focused, like regular traditional gamer focused game that I could enjoy and be happy about.
I won't lie here and say that after this year's BlizzCon, I went, do I really want to? Maybe I skip a year of this here. Maybe this is, maybe I need a break and just clear my head from what I expect from BlizzCon versus whatever. And this was for me a big BlizzCon. I got to do a cool stage thing and there was all sorts of rad stuff around it, but you know, the overall vibe was just a little funky. And if they did that, if next year they did that, like if we came away from that again as empty-handed as it felt this last time, I don't know, man. Also, by the way, we don't know if any of this stuff affects like cost-cutting across the board, different jobs being lost and all that. We don't know if this affects BlizzCon. Like, there's no longer, with Overwatch League happening sort of during the year and not at BlizzCon, and even HCC was the same way, and now with no HCC at all, and this is true of Hearthstone as well, they don't need BlizzCon anymore for their big finals. They need it for their fun, hyped-up sort of Pro Bowl that they play for all these games. But there's a world where there's no BlizzCon next year is what I'm saying. It's possible.
I think BlizzCon is a moneymaker for them. So I don't think, you know, the reason they wouldn't want to do it is like they did last time they didn't do it, which was they were working hard on other stuff and didn't want to take the focus for the teams away from that. So that could be the reason, but it makes money. So I think they're incentivized to do it anyway.
Yeah, no, totally.
And also, if they announce, like, imagine the incredible amount of goodwill they will get if they announce Diablo 4 at BlizzCon next year. You know, they make a joke about the mobile game, and they're like, they admit we weren't super, super, it wasn't super clever the way we did it, but you know what? Darkness never dies, blah, blah, blah. Diablo 4, boom, and then everyone explodes in joy. Yeah. And I think that's a marketing opportunity that is really hard to pass if they have a game to it.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking the other night. Well, whatever. When Diablo.
No, tell us what you're
thinking.
Well,
that's what I was thinking. When
Diablo, does it involve me or Garrett?
No. Well, maybe.
In any.
It could.
Okay.
Yeah, we could all get together and play together. But when Diablo Immortal hits, I mean, who am I kidding? I'm going to play the hell out of that. I'm not excited. I'm just like everyone else. I'm not excited that this isn't Diablo 4. It's not a proper thing. Or they canceled a Diablo 3 expansion that I would have really liked. I mean, none of that is true. But I still, to this day, if I'm being totally honest, of course, I'm going to play that damn thing. I'm excited.
I think the biggest problem with Diablo Immortal is that it's actually Diablo 3. And we've already played Diablo 3 a lot. I think that's going to be the problem.
That's a good point. Like, I've fallen off my Switch version of Diablo, not because it isn't great, because it is, but I've played Diablo in all of its iterations so much, it's like, well, if I'm gonna do this, may as well do it where all my stuff is. So I'm just gonna do it there, because I don't have shared accounts and stuff. So you're not wrong, and I may a week into that go, I'm done. You know, because I'll be tired of it.
We're all going to try it. That's certainly true, right? Garrett, you're going to try it.
My takeaway is I'm not going to play it, and that's okay.
Hey, you're not even going to try it? Come on, you're going to try it.
I played the demo. It didn't impress me. I don't like mobile games.
Garrett's going to install it, and he is going to play it, and he and I are going to be on a team, and we're going to be rolling through the undead freaking minions of the...
I'm going to, because of the what I do for a job.
All right.
If I was still working at the old publishing company I used to work at, and I couldn't keep a roof over my head talking about video games, I would not play this game. I wouldn't give a shit about this game.
I mean,
this is the most disinteresting thing to me personally. And you know what, everyone?
I think it's not just to you personally, though. It's for a lot of people.
It's not for me.
And let's be honest. Let's lay it all on the table now, guys. We can be honest. The other reason we're going to be playing it is the big check we get from Blizzard every month, right? Mm-hmm.
I need to keep that.
Yeah, that huge.
I need to keep that running. Does anyone believe that really? When I go, ooh, Jalen Bragg, not doing it for me.
Yeah, I always wonder that too. I only get accused of it when I say something nice about Blizzard games that I love, and the minute I make any kind of other comment, suddenly I don't hear about that anymore. It's weird.
That being said, please keep hooking me up with immediate pass for BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Please and thank you.
Yeah, that I kind of need. That I need to keep.
See, that's how they get us. That's how they get us to say nice things about them.
Is media passes, yeah.
No, it's, it's definitely not because I legitimately enjoy aspects of their games.
No, it's definitely not that. Hey, by the way, what a big news of the week. Soldier 76 is gay. Freaking deal with it, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, they did a story, and in the story, it turns out he's carrying a torch for a dude, and now we got two LGBT folks here there on the Overwatch team. You got Tracer, which everyone seemed to be pretty okay with, it seemed like at the time, but boy, a lot of outcry over 76, which I don't really want to address because, of course,
so
there
much.
Was.
To me, it feels on par with Tracer.
Did it? Okay.
Well, the thing is, Tracer is also a a female character, which is often a lesbian, is often the subject of fantasy for many men. So I think that's easier to go. That's actually what I said when we saw the Tracer thing. I was like, well, I don't think they're going to do a two men kissing in a comic. Turns out they kind of are. They're not kissing, okay, but the thing that I've seen, I talked about this on a few shows. I've seen a lot of people going like, oh, we don't care that he's gay, which I think is a passive-aggressive way of saying, I'd rather not have gay people in my games and get away from me with your politics.
Yeah.
But I still think it's a better version of all of this than, horrible gay people invading our games. That's politics, like identity things and like more... clear outrage over things.
Yeah.
I think it's a step up. I think Blizzard is doing it and normalizing it and is taking its time. But you know, Gamergate was 4 years ago, and now we're getting relatively tame reactions to one of the main characters in this game being gay. I think that's a positive thing.
Sure. And by the way, I had a side conversation with Metzen about it because he is the creator of Soldier 76, created him in his teens, in fact.
Oh, and he told you he hated that there were gay people in his games?
No.
And that's why he quit?
No.
Is that what he said?
No. He told,
are you sure?
No, I'm 100% positive that is not what he told me. He told me a bunch of stuff that I'm probably not allowed to say.
Scott.
But let's just
You're not thinking of the thumbnails and of the ad revenue.
Right.
Just say it is and then make a thumbnail. And you'll be rich.
Here's what I like. I like that. And what he said, I'll ask him if I can say it on the air. For now, I probably shouldn't. It's an interesting perspective, though, from the guy who created the character. So at some point, I'll find out if I can. But the other thing I wanted to mention was John Jagger's reaction was he thinks that anyone who is upset is only upset because their canonical Overwatch porn has been altered. And now they're going to have to rethink it.
I choked on my own laughter when I read that.
It was really good.
It's so true, it hurts.
Their favorite, and I mean, the line was, your favorite Overwatch porn is no longer canonical, is what he said. And he's kind of right. It's like that line I always say, the most homophobic people I know are really, really dig lesbians. Like, it's just like, the people that are the maddest, and there are people mad, there are some people who are mad, whether you saw the outrage or you didn't, or if you only saw the people prepared for the outrage or not. There were some people who are super ticked about it and can't stand it and wish Blizzard wouldn't insert their politics in the games or whatever they think that happened there. Where was I going with that? I had an end point. I had a destination.
Well, I will
for this
tell
train.
You about the Oh, sorry. Did you find
it? I don't know. Point? I'll think of it while you talk.
So I'll tell you the canonical Overwatch porn. I think that we were all hoping for was the relationship between Hanzo and McCree. And I think a lot of people are upset because they think, well, Soldier is gay now and they're not going to have many gay characters.
What I'm going to tell you,
don't give up hope. It's completely possible that Hanzo is also gay and McCree is also gay or bisexual. I could see McCree be bisexual.
Freaking McCree is too good for Hanzo. Don't you even float that idea. Hanzo is a dick.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick.
McCree deserves better.
Yeah.
It's true.
You're not wrong.
I agree.
That's where my outrage comes from.
I was hoping McCree for Roadhog, personally. I was hoping for Roadhog and his magical relationship with the hamster was interesting to me. But then, here's my funny joke I told you. You guys want to hear it? This is pretty good, I think. It's a little subversive, but whatever. I said, Soldier 76 is gay. I've known this for years. All those kids on Xbox Live tell me how gay he is every time I select him. Ha 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 ha! Get it? Because kids say gay in a different context. They don't mean gay like a lifestyle choice or a lifestyle whatever. They're just saying gay like that's so gay. Yeah, see?
Don't say choice. That's
the yeah, that means a whole nother bag of chips. I don't want to get into that. But yeah, you know what? Yeah, at the end of the day, what if everyone? Well, what if they turn? What if it turns out every character in the game
is gay.
They're just slowly doling it out. And there's only like one straight person. It's like Junkrat or something.
And in the future, everyone is gay. That would be fun. I think, you know, they're striving to depict the world kind of as it is, as inclusive as possible. So that's probably not going to happen. But I will say I was quite happy to hear or realize that I had been playing a gay character for so long and more, you know, and that's fine. And more importantly, that many people have been playing a gay character and enjoying it. They didn't realize it. And now they realize and they're probably angry about it for some reason. But is he still gay? And they still love playing him for a very long time.
Yep.
And they can't do anything about it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a good point. And I'm also glad I'm sad that I brought up the Roadhog hamster thing because it has connotations I didn't intend. So I apologize for that, everybody.
Does it?
Well, it might. It's a long story. Patrick, you know what? Look up. There's an old urban legend about who's the actor? Shoot. I can't think of his name. He played Bugsy. Oh, no, he didn't. Anyway. Officer and a Gentleman. I can't think of the guy's name, but there was these old rumors that him and a hamster, there's a story. I'm not going to retell it here on the show. It's not my place. I'm just saying.
I love that this took us to so many different places.
Curious where you were going with this, but whatever the case.
Richard Gere. Okay, I'm just saying. I'm not saying you have to go look this up, but if you're ever curious, just go look up Richard Gere and it's either a gerbil or a hamster. I don't remember. And then you get your story. And I'm not saying it's true or isn't true. I'm just saying.
So what you're saying is essentially Roadhog is Richard Gere.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying.
That's what I meant the whole time.
Got it. What I take away from this is further doubling down on how much we need more Overwatch stories.
Oh, right. Yeah. No kidding.
I just want to know more of this world from a narrative aspect, which I feel the game has dropped that ball since the launch.
Oh, yeah. No. That's the other thing they better have at BlizzCon is some new direction or some plans for what Overwatch is besides a team-based multiplayer shooter. They gotta figure that out, man. For me, it's all for me. I'm being selfish here about it. Just do things for me, Blizzard. All right, that's it for that. Let's do this real quick. Oh, that didn't do it right. Let me play that again. Here you go.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, let's take a look at what we got for an email. We got one this week from Robert, who sent this into theinstance@gmail.com, and he says this: I think one of WoW's biggest advantages other MMOs in the market is its size. Aside from a few sparse events and now Warfronts, high-level players rarely spend any time in zones outside the current expansion. What do you guys think about Blizzard trying to create more world quests and events in old classic zones and the old expansions to entice more max-level characters to travel the entire game? I see some of this happening with quests in Arathi and Darkshore, but I would really like to see this in more zones and not necessarily Warfront related. Thanks. Love the podcast, Robert. Yeah, I've been a fan of this idea for a while, but it's been more in the context of what ESO and Guild Wars 2 do, which is everything scales, and it scales universally. And some people don't like this, so I realize that I'm talking about a kind of controversial topic in the MMO space. But in those two games as examples, it doesn't matter where you start, it doesn't matter where you end, it doesn't matter where you go, the content you run into will work for you then. So I could start in a place at level 0 or level 1 and begin the game there, and I could end the game in a place where there are a bunch of level 1s running around starting their game. And I kind of like that. Guild Wars 2, same way. It sort of works that way across the board in both of those games. So I kind of wish Blizzard would do that. I hoped that the scaling stuff they did in Legion that has now moved over to BFA, I'd hope that that was something that was going to spread to other parts of the game.
Well, they have.
To
an extent. You're still limited in level ranges.
Right,
but...
right. And I don't want that. What I want is full-blown, the world scales with me. Basically, it's the way that Skyrim did it. You just work through the world, and it stays with you.
So you don't want level ranges. You want to be able to play in Elwynn Forest or the Barrens forever from level 1 to level 120.
Yeah, and for those who say, well, that's not challenging, because then it just, if it's leveling with you, then what's the advantage of ever being too strong or too weak or whatever? The game already is easy in that regard. Like, if you're in the level range you're supposed to be, you're just ripping through content. It's not like you're dying every 5 seconds. So I'm not asking for them to change too much about the way the game feels now. I guess what I'm saying is it would be fun, in my mind, it'd be fun if I could go, well, I don't have to go start here or there. The problem is Blizzard's made a very linear story in a lot of ways. So every zone you go into as a starting character, you're crumb-fed the story all the way through the game, assuming you go all the way to 120. In my mind, that's cool for your first time through and for all the years we played the game. But today, I would love the idea of starting like an undead hunter, let's say, and then just go start out somewhere weird. Like, just go pick a funky, like, Unguro crater, which is definitely not leveled for a level 1 right now, but could be if they had the scaling in effect. And just go do the content you want to do when you want to do it. And if you don't like where you're at, travel somewhere else and do that content. I really like that aspect of some of the other MMOs. It's a controversial topic. I know I'm not in the majority, maybe even the majority. I don't know if it is or isn't, but that's how I would really...
let's say it is.
I'd play a lot more WoW is what I'm saying, if that was the case. Because right now you are, I do feel like, well, if I'm spending any time in this game, it's pretty much locked into BFA stuff, and that's just it. And there's something about that idea that frees me. It just makes me feel freed up to do other things. That would mean dungeons would scale. That would mean other kinds of raid content would scale. They wouldn't have to do time walking anymore. They just go make them scale.
They already kind of do. You can do level 1 to 60 in the entire world. You can do level 60 to 70 in... Wrath or Burning Crusade, so they already kind of have something like that.
No, you're right. There is some of that there. That's the beginning, and that's why I thought we'd get more. I thought they'd expand that. Maybe they still will. I mean, it's, you know, anything's possible.
I don't think so. I think that's their choice to give you that freedom while keeping player progression, like world feeling, like you're progressing. You're getting to different places. I don't think they will. They could have if they wanted to. They already would have.
Yeah.
I'm not strongly against scaling, but I actually kind of preferred the old way of doing things.
Yeah.
Because I really liked when I would go exploring, when I would end up in a zone I shouldn't be in. It added this sense of danger and, oh, I done messed up to my exploring of the game world. And so I'm kind of longing and hoping that the next expansion has a more linear progression through the new zones.
Yeah. I mean, and I think a lot of people feel the way you do. And even I hear you say that and I go, oh, yeah, it was kind of cool bumping into Plague Lands and not Eastern Plague Lands.
I think both are cool. Like, I really liked Legion. When Legion came out, they're like, start where you want, except that place with the big city. You don't go there. Go anywhere else. Like, it was fine. It was cool. It was a nice break. I think there's merits to both, and I would kind of dig if they went back and forth between them.
Yeah. And I would, chat room makes a good point. Soulspear says, level scaling is okay. Eye level scaling is not. So item scaling, not. I agree. And maybe those two things are hard to work out, but also maybe that's a way to make you feel a little more powered in an area where you just earned a rad piece of gear, and now you are a little better, even though it's still scaling with you. Have it not be 100% one-to-one scaling. Have you be a little tougher when you get a cool piece of gear. Have that, based on some algorithm, wear out over time, and you've got to get something better to... I don't know what it is, but I just, at this stage of the game, I want to just do more in places that are just sitting there empty now. Just NPCs picking their noses. That's it. And it's a bummer to me. Well, it's a bummer.
I would also say to Robert's email here is that I believe he did say, Warfronts aside, that I'd really like to go back around to Warfronts and say, don't cast that aside so quickly, because I think that's doing a lot to help some of the issues that Robert's pointing out here. It's just that right now we only have two of them.
Right.
But if they kept adding more of them, suddenly there's significantly more traditionally unused locations for high-level characters being utilized and forcing interaction between factions, especially with Warfront.
Yeah.
Again, man, I just feel like Warfront doesn't get enough love.
I know you like those. You're a Warfront guy.
It has added a nice layer to the open world experience.
Yeah. I mean, I don't utterly hate them, but I actually kind of like them when they're open and there's just stuff to do in there, like some big daily quest or I got to go there, whatever. Like, that stuff's cool. I don't like the actual Warfront, like the actual, here's the red pushing the blue, blah, 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 like the little RTS fakery we're doing. That I don't like. Just don't find it fun.
Well, I think in retrospect, it would have been a lot better if the game, when Warfronts launched, it launched with the two that we have now, so that both factions more or less always have one that they can go do the scenario for, or at least one they can go and do the world quest for and world bosses. I think the piecemeal rollout of it didn't land particularly well, especially considering which side of the faction you ended up on. But now that there's two of them, and it's just part of the kind of the weekly list that you check off, is which as you play and check off all the boxes of things that you like to get done over the week for resources and gear, I think it's fine. I think it blends in rather seamlessly.
Yeah. Mr. Oda in the chat says it feels like a battleground without the PvP. Yeah, it's a fair comparison.
Yeah, I think that's fine, and I think there's, you know, PvE content, as World of Warcraft has proven, is important. Mm-hmm. If you want to have a discussion about whether or not it has enough of it, and maybe it needs more PvP, that's rad. But I think Warfronts are fine, especially now that we have more than one of them.
By the way, chat room, if you ever wanted to see what it looked like when Patrick's on the point, look at him, look at his face.
I'm sorry, what?
Look at Patrick. Just look at his face.
I'm on the point.
He's on the point.
I'm on the point. I'm playing D.Va.
Yeah, of course you are.
And I died. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. And I will have you know that I was absolutely listening to everything you were saying.
No, I believe it.
You were talking about Warfronts, and you were saying that they would have been much better if they had launched with the two Warfronts from the beginning, and also that they feel like a battleground without PvP, which is kind of dumb, and I agree.
No,
so there you go.
100%. I that is the kind of game I can play and listen. So
Did I miss something where you could see he was playing?
Oh yeah, totally. You can see it's his face. He does this. This is Patrick when he plays. Like that.
Same face I make when I play Spider-Man.
Audio people have no idea what I just did, but that was Patrick's face. That's it for Town Crier. Thanks for your email. You can send your emails in to theinstance@gmail.com, and that is going to do it for the show. Real quick before we get out of here, let's go around the horn and see what people have going on. Patrick Beja, where can people get more of you, and do you have anything rad coming up?
I have Pixels, which is a gaming show where I talk about a ton of stuff, including stuff that are not World of Warcraft or Blizzard related. The latest episode was the one where we covered the games of 2019, and we are talking about what they are going to be and how fun they're going to be and which ones they're going to be.
What?
You can find that at, just search for Pixels in your podcast app. That's super easy. You're probably listening to a podcast right now, since you're listening to me on a podcast, go to the search field, search for Pixels, subscribe, and thank me later.
Aren't you glad that movie?
What are you?
Well, go ahead. What
I was going to say, can we get a little teaser? What are you most excited for 2019?
Yeah, what do you got there, buddy?
I think Anthem is pretty high on that list, even though it could probably be kind of bad. We don't really know, but I'm still excited. The Jedi Fallen Order game that we know nothing about. I could be excited
about.
Is this
supposed to come out this year? They haven't even shown us anything.
Yeah, it's the end of the year, and it's
that is so getting delayed. I'm calling it right now. That's not making it out this year.
Okay,
I will be color me impressed if that releases in 2019.
But still, it's slated for this year. There are a few others.
The games I'm most excited about are always small. I'm always excited about the small stuff. I'm looking forward to...
Oh, there are a bunch of small things that could be really exciting.
Indeed. Rebel Galaxy Outlaw is my number one anticipated game of the year, and that's just because I love space games. So don't at me, bro. But I am looking forward to that game a lot. Garrett Weinzierl, where can people find more of Thou and Thus?
Well, I'm always talking Hearthstone on the Angry Chicken. I'm talking Heroes of the Storm on Into the Nexus. Just put out a new episode last night when Jeff Cannata joined us. Oh, so go listen
very nice.
To that one. I had a lot of fun on that particular episode. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to do a bit of a deep dive into my thoughts on that Hearthstone survey and also the lore Q&A over on my solo show, R2T2.
R2
you can find by searching for R2-T2 wherever podcasts can be found.
Yeah, amove.tv, everybody. It's where you can find it all. And if you're looking for more from the Frog Pants Network, it's easy to do also. Go to frogpants.com, and you'll find this and other shows right there available for the taking. I'm also playing a lot more games on stream, so if you want to watch Frog Pants plays, they happen all the time. Details at the site as well. It's going to do it for us. Find us on Twitter. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say this doesn't help your views for your stream, but I would say folks should just follow you on Twitter because the clips from Resident Evil are worth their weight in gold.
They made me put my hand down the neck of a severed man's body. I had to go into his neck and down in there to pull a key out. Resident Evil 7 is freaking gross. That game is gross. The stuff they make you do in there. There was a toilet thing where it was an overflowed freaking diarrhea toilet where I had to pull a eyeglass thing out of it, and then I had to put it up on my eye. I got pink eye just thinking about it. That game is so gross. Oh, it's foul. Thank you for reminding
me. Imagine if you've been playing it in VR. You'd definitely have pink eye.
Dude, people listening to the show right now have pink eye just describing it. I can guarantee you that. But anyway, go check that out. Lots of fun. There's a full YouTube runs through those games as well. So check that out. That's going to do it for us. Like I said, more shows like this at frogpants.com for me, for Garrett, for Patrick, and for wherever Terpster is right now. Goodbye.